If big companies aren't hiring, what are they doing with their money?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The government's monthly employment report comes out tomorrow, and the experts don't expect much good news. U.S. companies have more money on hand than they've had in a while. They're just not using it to give you a job. Marketplace's Eve Tro says new data sheds light on why that is, and she's with us live to explain. Hey, Eve.
Hi there.
What are companies doing with their profits, if not hiring?
Well, they are buying their own stock. They're taking it off the market. That makes the number of shares more scarce, which drives up the price, which looks good to investors. And because interest rates are so low, it's cheap to do this. Microsoft actually did that recently. They borrowed to buy a bunch of stock. Companies are also five times more likely to do this than they were last year, and that's according to the stock research firm Berini Associates. The Washington Post has an article on this practice today, and actually its board at the Washington Post company, they bought back a ton of shares last month, and their stock jumped more than 4% the day that they announced that. So this is a trend, and it works.
Okay, and is there anything wrong with that, Eve?
Well, it means companies aren't growing. They're not adding employees, they're not developing new products, they're not building factories. And critics say boosting the stock price kind of artificially like this is pretty short-sighted. It's not investing for the future. Now, the companies say if they don't want to hire people because they don't want to lay them off if the company dips again. And they also say that there's no point in developing new products when consumers aren't in a position to buy them. So, you know, why not shore up our stock, they say.
Very interesting. The story of our day. Marketplace's Eve Tro, thanks.
Thank you.
States are leaning on nonprofits more and more in this economy for all kinds of services, public safety, housing, food assistance. But a report out today says cash-strapped states are not paying those nonprofits on time. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The Urban Institute surveyed nonprofits across the country and found 41% had problems with late payments from government agencies. Elizabeth Boris conducted the survey. She says nonprofits are in bad shape.
About 40% at the end of 2009 were in the red. They're in pretty weak financial shape going forward.
Boris says some nonprofits are cutting overhead and staff. That's what Christine Bork is doing. She heads the Chicago YWCA. The state of Illinois pays the Y to run programs for victims of sexual violence. But the state is about $400,000 behind in payments. Bork is cutting costs, trying to keep the programs going.
We're probably serving close to 20, 30,000 people every year. If we stop, what happens to those people?
Other nonprofits are asking the same question. The Urban Institute says 82% of them are scaling back their programs. Half have frozen or cut salaries. Some might fold. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. World stocks are flat this morning. The Japanese electronics company Samsung came out with a disappointing profit forecast. Greece's civil servants walked off the job in a 24-hour strike to demand repeal of the government's tough austerity measures, the ones designed to reduce debt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 22 points. The close was 10,967.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
As I said at the top of the show, the government's monthly employment report comes out tomorrow, and it doesn't look like our unemployment rate will come down then or anytime soon. But will it come down eventually, and how will that happen? Economists are debating that question, says Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So I know the more liberal economists, the Paul Krugmans of the world, have been saying the government should spend more to bring back jobs.
Well, that's right. They're saying that this unemployment is cyclical. Now, that's a fancy term for this dynamic. Economy's weak. Employers aren't hiring. If the government can stimulate the economy really starts growing, then employers will hire workers, the unemployment rate will fall. But here's the thing, Bill. There's some really respected economists who are saying, no, hold on a second. This high unemployment isn't cyclical, it's structural.
Yes, structural. What do they mean by that?
What they mean is companies have jobs, but they can't find the skilled workers they need. The workers want to work, but they don't have the skills to get the job. So think laid-off construction worker, Silicon Valley firm hiring programmers.
Mm-hmm. So which is it, Chris, cyclical or structural, and why is that so important?
Look, it's both, and I mean that very seriously. It's both because on the one hand, this economy is very weak, and therefore if it starts growing, the unemployment rate will come down. But there's also a fundamental problem in our economy, Bill. That is, we have too many poorly educated workers for the kind of jobs that are being created. But here's the thing. I want to just add one other twist. The real worry is the longer this economy grows slowly, the more structural unemployment will become.
And why is that? What happens to jobs and to workers in a long economic slump?
Look, life is not fair. But what happens is you become rusty. You fall behind changes in your industry. And employers, they start looking at the unemployed worker as damaged goods, and it feeds on itself, and it is bad for everyone.
Okay. On that cheery note, thank you for laying that out for us, Chris Farrell, our economics editor. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
And finally, which non-solo musical act has the most singles on the Billboard Hot 100? The Beatles? Nope, that was true last week. This week, Fox's musical TV show Glee charted 6 more songs, giving the cast 75 hits, 4 more than the Fab Four. Only 16 more to go to catch James Brown. Another 18 hits, and Glee beats Elvis and everybody else. Yes, dare to dream. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.